It is Wednesday, May 6th for Patreon subscribers, and Thursday, May 7th for the rest of you. Thank you for joining us on Menace to Sports. Really fired up to be back in studio. We took a little hiatus, a COVID-19 week, to get some things done. Our new website's going to drop probably tomorrow or Friday. Really excited about it, to add written content, some just kind of a hub where you can find all this, the videos we're putting out, all the written articles, all the shows, and then also our new merch store will launch. We got cool face masks because apparently we have to wear face masks after the coronavirus has taken over the world. But excited about this show. I want to talk about what is going on with the NCAA's new ruling, what that means. Talk to probably 10 different schools across the country just to see what their impact, what does it mean, this one-year exempt transfer rule that has now become a reality. And also, payers are going to get paid. I mean, they're going to make some cash-ish. So it's time to dive into it and look at it. Why? What's it mean? How's it going to work? Really going to be interested to share with you my findings, what I've found from these schools, and where everyone's head at is at. And the reality is people don't know what the fuck to think. But thank you for tuning in and listening. Make sure to check out our Patreon if you have not already. We have a bunch of additional content. We put out a Beyond the Show Q&A show. Now the questions are getting a little more interesting. Now one of the questions was about the fine women of Buckeye Nation and my experience with them after I got divorced. So I am candid. I will share whatever. I mean, you know, I'm an open book when it comes to it. So the Beyond the Show episode was fun. Really enjoyed it. So check out Patreon. We're doing that. Also, our Zone 6. Go follow us, Zone 6 Training, on Instagram and Twitter. We're doing putting out some coaches' tools. We did a Zoom clinic last week. We're going to do another Zoom clinic next week. So reach out if you have anything. If you want to be a part of the Zoom clinic, if you want to provide input, you want to talk, you want to ask questions, whatever it is, reach out, Zach, Z-A-C-H, at menacetosports.com, and we will get back to you. We will interact and share with you some of the stuff we have going on in our platform that is growing and growing. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Enough about the nonsense. Let's get to the show.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
No man is more important than the team. No coach is more important than the team. Team.
What a hit, Denzel Ward. You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Did you push yourself to be great today? Did you do it? If you didn't do it, you lost today.
Don't let that team stand in the way. Go away.
Menace to
All right, welcome Menace to Sports, episode 97. Three left until the big 100th episode. We'll see what that entails, because I don't know yet. But really excited to bring this show to you. I took, like I said in the preview, took a week to kind of get things organized. Really worked on this website, this new platform, and then bought a school bus. We bought a bus. We're going to wrap it in graphics. We're gutting it right now. We're going to put in hardwood floors, TVs, you name it. It's going to be a tailgate staple at our tailgates whenever we're allowed to tailgate. Hopefully this fall, but who knows? At this rate, we'll probably be stuck at home for the rest of our lives. But I do want to start with the hot topic. The NCAA announced they approved that players can be compensated. Basically, they did what the NCAA does. They said, you know what? We know we have to do something. We know we have to let players get paid because it's the right thing to do. So we're just going to step out of it and say, fuck it. Do whatever you want to do. We're out. You can do whatever you want. It's up to the schools to figure out how to monitor it. They basically are just said, oh, well, you guys wanted it. You got it. Now we're out. And here's the interesting thing. I wonder who all knows this. Do you know what university president that formed the committee that made these recommendations to make these new rules? Do you know who it was? I'll give you one guess. He happens to be the soon-to-be ousted president of the Ohio State University, the Michael Drake, the most clueless leader in academia. This guy has no idea what he just recommended and got approved. This has just turned college football into the wild, wild west. And I want to talk about why. The first reason is these kids are now going to get paid and come at from all different angles, right? They're going to be, you're going to have to vet agents. They're going to have to get agents, sign agents. Agents are going to work on deals, take percentages. And now in recruiting, and I don't care what, like, I know Ohio State is going to try to be very precautious with this process. The problem is those schools down south are not. In recruiting, it will be one way or another, whether it's legal or not, it will be known to recruits how much money they will get paid if they choose LSU or if they choose Alabama. It will become a recruiting tool to where now these kids are being sold a salary at different schools. You talk about parity in college football, an equal playing field, gone. I mean, this is wild. You want to top that off. So now these college programs have to create an entire new department. It's going to be an athlete management department that manages agents, that manages deals. I mean, you're legitimately going to have a guy like Justin Fields. Now, granted, he'll be gone by the time this goes into effect in January. But just a player of Justin Fields' stature is going to leave a game, play in a game, right? Right after the game, he's going to walk 100 yards to the RPAC and have an autograph signing for fans and make 10 grand. It's going to be absurd. On top of that, what do you do if you're coaching your guys up on the sideline in the middle of the game, TV timeout, and they look up and J.K. Dobbins is on the Byers Automotive commercial on the big screen? I mean, you're talking about, this is wild. So they're going to have to create a whole new department to handle this and manage this and do this, right? This new world order of college football. To top it off, they have also approved, this is not news, really recent news, but they've approved a one-time transfer exemption or are going to, that's going to be a thing. And so now, not only have you created this new department for agents, you've created a new department in personnel. Now, a guy like Mark Pantone at Ohio State, a player personnel director at any school, is going to have to create a whole department to vet and evaluate and analyze players from all other schools. I mean, it's going to come a time when the season's over and they find out, oh, this big-time receiver at Bowling Green wants to transfer, use his one-time exception, and he's thinking about coming to Ohio State. The answer cannot be, well, let's go see if he's any good. The answer better be, this guy's evaluated all of his game tape. He was watching him all year. He loves him. This is what he does well. This is what he doesn't do well. It is like NFL free agency. Because NFL teams have that, right? They have scouts that scout their opponents. So when it comes time to make a trade or pick up a guy off of waivers, they already know about and have evaluated this player. College football is going to have to do that. Now, these big time programs, you know, the Texases of the world, Ohio States of the world, they'll be just fine. They have money. They'll create departments. And they are going to come out of this thing stronger than ever. It's the schools that don't have the money, like the big 20 schools that have money. Those are the ones, it's like, how are they going to afford this? How are they going to afford to employ all these people? That's what's just mind-blowing to me. So to top it all off, I was looking at it, right, who's a winner? Because you go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, I mean, you're going to have boosters with a lot of money, for sure. And you're going to have some local, it's a college town. There's not a big city. The real big winners here are the schools with a huge alumni base and big cities and big markets. And the first two that jump out to me are Texas and Ohio State. You're talking about huge cities, Austin and Columbus, huge cities, many, many companies, big companies that will pay for appearances, that will pay for commercials, that will pay these kids a ton of money because they have it. Those are the two. Then you think about like a Miami or a USC. Nah, those cities don't even like college football. I mean, they're big cities. They have a following, but it's not like Columbus and Austin, where Ohio State is the ticket in Columbus. Texas is the ticket in Austin. Those kids are going to make a fortune. So the impact of this rule, I mean, you're talking about Ohio State and Texas just made out big time. It's unbelievable. They're going to have to add an entire new department, and some schools can't afford it. So the next question is, all right, how are these kids going to select agents? Agents are going to start infiltrating high school seniors to try to become the agency for that player, right? Just like they do in the NFL draft. A college football player goes into his final year before he leaves for the NFL, and agents are communicating with the kid's family or whoever he trusts to try to build a relationship so that when his season's over, boom, he signs an agent. That's going to happen with high school kids. So the next question is this. Do universities like Ohio State? Ohio State has utilizes IMG, right, as their sports marketing arm. And IMG thinks they run the world. They think they run Columbus. They certainly think they run Ohio State. And none more evident than when Chris Spielman had to sue them for using his image and likeness. And they lost. Chris Spielman won. They also are so audacious that if you're unfamiliar, if you aren't an Ohio State person listening to the show, Ohio State does this amazing cruise for cancer, right? They send a bunch of the Urban Meyer will go, Ryan Day will go, all these a litany of former players will go on this cruise. Ohio State fans will pay a ton of money to go on this cruise. They fill a cruise ship and raise millions upon millions of dollars for cancer research. IMG had the audacity to try to shut it down because they said they owned those players. We're talking former players. Ones that don't play at Ohio State anymore. Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Thomas, those type of players. IMG thought that they had the rights to those players. That's how ridiculous IMG is. So will Ohio State, or will a school, not Ohio State, doesn't matter, will they then try to find a blanket? Like, will they find an agency? Maybe it is IMG. Or will they find an agency that they say, all right, this agency is going to represent all of our players. And now, does Ohio State, or does Texas get a kickback from that agency? Are they going to make money off these kids a whole new way? That's what's yet to be seen. Because there's too much money at stake and too much fluidity, too much wild, wild west at stake for a school that wants to control everything to just completely let go. It's just not going to happen. So I'm interested to see kind of what comes of it, right? It'll be really intriguing. I think, switching topics, I wanted to talk about that because that's the most intriguing story to come out in the last week. All right, switching topics, I want to talk a little bit about the NFL draft. I want to talk about a number of things about the draft that I agreed with, didn't agree with, just my opinion on them. But the first thing I have to say, I don't know, the guy actually has decent knowledge, I think, most of the time, but my dumbass sports media personality of the week is certainly Adam Schefter. One, because he has the most fucking annoying voice in all of broadcasting and TV and analysis. It's just awful to listen to. But I want you to listen to what old Schefty had to say about why the Eagles took Jalen Hurts. This has got to be the worst take of the draft. And the most annoying take of the draft. Listen to this.
Now in this day and age, I've had teams tell me it's more important than ever to have a backup quarterback in this pandemic. We're going to be playing next year. Coronavirus is out there, COVID-19. What if your quarterback gets the virus? It's an interesting situation here. I think there are more problems now than ever before. And so I think teams are looking to shore up the most important position in this sport. And that's why the Eagles did it. Now in this day and age.
So we're saying, Adam Schefter is saying, the Eagles took Jalen Hurts because nowadays with the coronavirus, there's a chance that your quarterback could get the virus and you need a really good backup. That's a draftable reason? Jalen Hurts got drafted by the Eagles because of the corona? Is this guy for real? I was shocked. I mean, let's be honest. The odds would tell you the quarterback's more likely to get hurt than get the coronavirus. And in that case, they've been planning for that and needed that, I don't know, since football started? Wow. Moronic take. Dumbass sports media personality of the week. And I will say, part of the other reason we didn't do a show last week is because I don't like to put out something that is subpar quality content. I don't like it. I'm seeing sports media people doing their favorite snack, favorite cartoons from the 90s. Bleacher Report put out a video the other day about what Klay Thompson thinks when they were playing the Raptors about if a Drake song comes on his playlist, does he play it or not? Like, my God, man, who gives a shit? Do people care? I don't think so. I hope not. It's just bizarre what these media people will do to fill time. But I did want to talk about the draft, a couple of different things that came up. One thing is, Joel Klatt tweeted it out. It was about stars in the draft, the number of five stars, four stars, whatever. The first thing I want to talk about, though, is I want to talk about where these kids came from, right? So of all of the entire NFL draft, the state of Texas produced the most draft picks, 33, California, 23, Florida, 22, Georgia, 21, Louisiana, 12. So when you want to talk about why is the Midwest or why is Big Ten football not quite as good as SEC football or Clemson, therein lies the issue. Where are NFL players coming from? Texas, Cali, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana. Who's recruiting those states? Ohio State is seemingly the only school up north that is competing in those states with the SEC. So why do you think Ohio State is the only team putting out draft picks at a clip like the SEC, like Clemson? Why is Ohio State the only one doing it? Because they're the only ones recruiting those states effectively. So if I'm Michigan and I'm in just a deep depression because my coach can't seem to get his shit together and get a program running, I'm going to look first at who we are recruiting. Michigan men. We're going to recruit Michigan men. A bunch of guys from the Midwest. Half of them can't play. That's the ticket. That'll get it done. You got to recruit the best players or else your team won't be as good. Is that not simple? A simple concept? Ohio State is the only school outside of the SEC and Clemson that is recruiting those states effectively, and they're doing it. I also saw, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was 247 did a really cool analytic. They analyzed the percentage of players drafted for each school compared to the stars that they had coming out. So how talented were those kids coming out of high school? And then what schools developed them the best? Not a shocker to me at all. Alabama's 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Florida 4, LSU 5. Then Oklahoma goes on and on and on. The schools like Michigan, 20th, right? Let's look at who else. Texas, 30th. The Texas Longhorns really aren't developing shit. 33 players in their top 247 over the 5-year period, 15% of those were drafted. 15%. That's horrific player development. Right down there with them is, let's see, Tennessee at 21st overall. I mean, some of these, it's astonishing. Michigan's 20th, 26%. I think Ohio State had the highest percent drafted. 63.8% of their top players from 247 Sports were drafted. Alabama's 59%, Clemson's 58%. And so that inspired me. We're working on an analytic database right now because I want to see not only that, because I think everyone knows my feeling on the NFL draft. The NFL draft is indicative of something, but when a guy like KJ Hill goes to the 7th round or Mike Thomas is the 5th receiver taken, I question the NFL's ability to actually properly select the best. But I'm working on this analytic, database that's going to track how highly rated a kid was in high school, his production in college, because production in college is what coaches are trying to get done, right? Certainly that should yield NFL prowess and value, but production is what they want. And so it's going to compare both of those and then also the NFL draft. It'll be really interesting to see. I did think that one of the funniest things I saw was the Michigan O-lineman. What a resume builder for Ed Warner. 4 of 5 O-linemen were drafted. What a coach. What a developer. What a production maker Ed is. Michigan football is like that drunk girl who just broke her high heel and stumbled into the bushes. Like, it's okay. I'm okay. It's going to be okay. I'm fine. That's Michigan football right now. It's a tragedy. It's a train wreck. And then Ed Warner has 4 of 5 O-linemen drafted. What a promising and amazing stat for Michigan football, right? Oh, one slight problem. They were 89th in the country in yards per carry, 84th in first down rushing, 60th in sack rate. They didn't play worth a shit. So what does that mean? What does that mean? That means the kid has the 4 linemen that Ed Warner had and Michigan had were NFL caliber linemen. They just played like dog shit for Michigan. So that's a testament to the coach, huh? Testament to Ed. He got him drafted. He couldn't get him to do anything productive for the team to help him win games, but he got him drafted. Oh, man. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about the NFL draft. I really want to talk about the 2015 team, which for Ohio State and a bunch of analytics and graphs, whatever, stats have come out comparing it to the 01 Miami team. And I want to take a look at it. because now everyone on that 2014 national championship team, the 2015 team, I guess, has exhausted their eligibility. So we'll take a look at that. We'll be right back after a quick break. Are you a football coach or just a football junkie? Or do you just have to learn football at the highest level? Let us introduce you to Zone 6 Performance and Training. We have pre-launched our athlete development platform on Patreon to give you that PhD level football that any coach or super fan craves. Right now you have access to an exclusive article I wrote on ball reception, as well as a pretty wicked comparison tool for the 2019 college football season. Next week we'll be rolling out the Coaches Arsenal 1.0 that will include 15 years worth of tools that I used in my career. From grade sheets to tip sheets to coaching manual topics, practice organization, drill work, recruiting templates and evaluation tools, and so much more. The downloadable toolbox will be available next week, and Zone 6 subscribers will get it first, and at a discount. In the coming months, we will be doing an e-clinic, which will be free to subscribers, as well as offering developmental tools including diagrams, videos, and tip sheets. Not to mention 24/7 access to me for any questions, suggestions, or requests. Zone 6 Development and Training. We are bringing the sports science and a PhD in football to all levels of the game and athlete. Check it out now at patreon.com/menacetosports. All right, thank you for taking the time to listen to our breaks. So the first thing I want to talk about, I want to bring up, is the 2015 Ohio State roster, because it is absolutely loaded with NFL talent. Just taking a look at it, just listen to the first rounders that were on that roster. Joe Burrow, Joey Bosa, Zeke Elliott, Denzel Ward, Eli Apple, Marshawn Lattimore, Malik Hooker, Taylor Decker, Damon Arnett, Darren Lee, Billy Price, Gerrion Conley. That's a ton of first rounders, by the way. And then second rounders, Curtis Samuel, Michael Thomas, Raekwon, Paris Campbell, Von Bell, Tyquan Lewis. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. 35 total draft picks, 12 first rounders, 18 second to fourth rounders, five fifth to seventh rounders, 35 total NFL football players were on that team. Now, I know people will want to talk about that in comparison to the Miami team, and I did a whole episode on that comparison to the 08 Florida team, the 01 Miami team, and the 2015 Ohio State team, who are some of the best teams that I've ever seen. And Miami still takes the cake. I really think they do. 38 total draft picks, 17 of them in the first round. That's just absurd. That team was absurd. But it did bring up one thing, and it's something that I wanted to bring up and talk about, is now Ohio State is talking about the real DBU, BIA, right? Best in America. And it made me think, like, it's always wide receiver U, DBU. Everyone wants to talk about it. And my question is this: what are we selling here? When we're talking about who is DBU, what are we selling? Are we selling the track record of the program in its longevity, in its entire history to develop defensive backs? Is that it? Because that's pretty irrelevant to everything. That's pretty irrelevant to football today. That's pretty irrelevant. That's completely irrelevant to recruiting. In recruiting, all a kid should care about is how many first rounders has this staff and this coach developed at DB. That's all that should matter. Recency. It doesn't matter if you had a first rounder in 1992 and this coaching staff wasn't even there. That doesn't matter. So who is DBU today? That's what matters to recruits. And I mean, since 2014, you're saying in the last 6 years, Ohio State has had 8 first round defensive backs. Florida and Bama are the next closest with 3. Ohio State has almost had triple as many first round defensive backs. So how are we even talking about this? LSU's had 2. They're not DBU. Get them out of here. Texas with their T-shirts, Tom Herman's T-shirts, 0 first rounders since 2014. They are not even in the conversation. So you could say Florida and Bama have had some decent ones. LSU, Michigan State, Louisville, FSU, Virginia Tech, TCU have all had 2. Ohio State's had 8. It just blows my mind that we are talking about wide receiver U, DBU, and we're going to talk about first rounders from 1997. Like, what does that matter? Because you could twist anything. Ohio State will put out a stat. Since 2001, Ohio State's had more receivers drafted than anyone. That's true. That is true. I don't know why that matters. It doesn't matter to recruits. It doesn't matter to Brian Hartline. It doesn't matter to Ryan Day. It doesn't matter to the team going on the field Saturday. Who gives a shit? It's just a way to spin stats, right? Statistician's spin. The question is, how many first rounders does Brian Hartline have? That's what the receivers should want to know. How many second rounders? How many has he put in the NFL? Will he prepare me for the NFL? Kerry Combs got a really, really strong list. If I'm a DB and a 17 years old getting recruited by everyone, I'm taking a look at Kerry Combs because he's got a track record of doing it recently too, not 20 years ago. So I think the DBU's played out. Let's not talk about it anymore. It's not even close. Ohio State is the current DBU. That could change in a couple years. Who knows? But right now, there's no team that is producing or developing defensive backs like Ohio State. I would say the same for D linemen. Larry Johnson is bar none the best D line coach in the country. But yeah, it just I guess that was my little rant, and it made me think. Right. Is the value of a recruit. Here's what I want you to think about, and this is something that I talked a lot about when I was coaching. There's value on the field, right? I'll use Johnny Dixon as an example. Johnny Dixon was a very, very highly sought-after receiver from South Florida, Dwyer High School, down in Palm Beach, and he was a highly touted, highly sought-after receiver. I mean, it was us, Florida, Bama, you name it. He had their offer. So we go to recruit him. His value on the field was pretty good. I mean, that was a solid return on investment. We get a big time player from South Florida. That value that we got from Johnny Dixon on the field was immense. It was really good. Now, was it first round talent? No. Was it first round production? No. And so it made me think the one thing that no one talks about when it comes to recruiting is when you recruit someone like Johnny Dixon was, he was a huge name in South Florida. When he chooses Ohio State, he becomes a transformational recruit. Here's what I mean by that. He chooses Ohio State, and the respect and notoriety he has in South Florida makes it kind of in vogue for everyone else to consider Ohio State. Prior to Johnny Dixon, there was very little traction in South Florida for the Buckeyes. There wasn't a lot. I mean, we had Ryan Shazier. There was a select one or two every now and then, but not a transformational person or player. Not a name like a Johnny Dixon was that all of a sudden found us in the mix for everyone in South Florida. Jalen Holmes in the 757 in Virginia Beach was similar. Those are two guys that I recruited, two examples. Where Jalen Holmes comes to Ohio State, we couldn't get involved with a kid in Virginia Beach until we got Jalen Holmes. And once we got Jalen Holmes, everyone wanted to look at Ohio State. And you're looking at some of the kids we got, Wayne Davis, who didn't pan out on the field, but was a big-time recruit. Taraja Mitchell, who's at Ohio State right now. Those kids are not coming to Ohio State if Jalen Holmes doesn't come to Ohio State. And it made me think about the transformational people or players that really changed the trajectory of everything. What made me think of it is Urban Meyer decides to take the Ohio State job after the first losing season in 120 years. Program's a mess. Everyone's a mess. Urban Meyer resurrects Ohio State football. Resurrects it. That's a transformational person stepping into the game. We talked about it. I'll tell you another two. Curtis Grant and Ryan Shazier and Michael Thomas. Those are the three for early on in the Urban Meyer era that were transformational players, not on the field. I mean, they were. Shazier was a great player. Curtis Grant was a great leader, great player. Michael Thomas was phenomenal. But their value, why they were transformational, was in recruiting. They took pride in getting kids to come to Ohio State. When Jalen Holmes came on his visit, Ryan Shazier and Curtis Grant took him everywhere. And they made sure Jalen Holmes came to Ohio State because they cared about Ohio State. They wanted big-time players to come. They wanted to go to the NFL and be able to brag about Ohio State winning. Those are the kids that are just not talked about or valued enough. The ones that buy in completely and can help you recruit kids. Michael Thomas is a great example too. If I put a kid with Michael Thomas, the kid was coming here. Now, you have to be smart. You don't want to wear out your ace player recruiter. But that kid was coming to Ohio State if I put Mike on him. And so I think it's just crazy to think about transformational players. And we talked about it on the one episode with Rich Rod, right? Rich Rod turned down Alabama. And because of that, Alabama didn't want to go to their third option, so they went back to Nick Saban and offered him an offer he couldn't refuse. And Rich Rod said, they should put a statue of me outside in Tuscaloosa. Because I turned down the job, they got the best coach in the history of college football. So that's just crazy to think about the impact of one person and those transformational players. And it's something I wanted to touch on because I don't really hear people talk about it much. I don't hear people respect it. I mean, there's a lot that goes into recruiting and transformational players on your team that are bought in and can go help you get a kid is huge. It's a huge, huge, huge asset to have. And we had some, three that I just mentioned, and there were more at Ohio State. But anyways, I just wanted to bring that up. I guess I don't hear people talk about it in recruiting. Like, what players are helping schools in recruiting? Who are the hosts? Hosts are critical, and it's not talked about near enough because they do a phenomenal job. Some schools do a better job than others. I've had kids go on visits to Nebraska and some other places where they get there and the hosts are like, "Nah, bro, this shit sucks here. Don't come here." Like, oh my God, all the work put in to recruit that kid, and now one of your own players told him that. Ooh, that sucks. But anyways, I wanted to talk about that. Really wanted to talk about the NCAA ruling. And I'm going to keep doing my research, keep talking to my contacts, and kind of give you an insight onto what that means for the landscape of college football, because it's huge. I mean, this is the biggest legislation to come out. Those two things, the one-time transfer and now paid players getting paid. I mean, it's probably the biggest rule announcement or rule change since the scholarship limit. I mean, just wild. So hope you enjoyed my take on it and kind of what I've been hearing. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, I appreciate it. Make sure you check out our Patreon, and our Zone 6 platform is the newest platform that's kind of taken off. Website to come. And then also check out our website. It should be live tomorrow at the very latest Friday. So we'll be on social media promoting it. So check it out. Check out our written content. And as always, provide feedback. Zach, Z-A-C-H, at menacetosports.com. Hit me up. Let me know what you think. Give me some feedback. Give me some criticism. I'm here for it all. So we look forward to catching you next week. As always, hope you were entertained. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you liked the show. And if you didn't, as we say, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Gil Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott, off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown, 85 yards.
It's so easy to be average. It takes a little something to be special, Don. It takes a little something special to be a great player.
Braxton Miller's loose. Spin move. Miller headed for the end zone.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We're going inside him. We're going outside him. Inside him, outside him. And when we get him on a run once, we're going to keep him on a run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get him on a run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today's the day we're going to win.
Menace to...